Parliament resumes under urgency this morning to continue debating the final stages of legislation granting authorities sweeping powers to deal with coronavirus. The COVID-19 Public Health Response Bill was pushed through its first and second readings in the House last night. The proposed law allows authorities to enforce the conditions under Alert Level 2 and 1, even after the state of emergency across the country is lifted. Notably, the Health Minister will be given the ability to issue orders which can be backed up with fines or even imprisonment. Police will enforce the orders and will be allowed to enter premises without a warrant to do so, for example, to shut down illegal gatherings. National MPs have opposed the legislation at its first and second reading, decrying the lack of scrutiny it's been given and the unchecked power it endows. RNZ's political editor Jane Patterson is with us from the Press Gallery studio. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Catherine.
Urgency is extraordinary for such sweeping powers, right? No select committee hearings, no submissions from the public or lobby groups, little time for amendments. However you look at it, is it a rush for such important legislation?
It is a real rush with no consultation. In fact, the departmental statement that goes over such things says no one, including the Privacy Commissioner, was consulted about this bill. Neither really was the opposition. They were very fierce yesterday in the House after really saying that they only had the bill 24 hours before it was due to go into the House, which really didn't give them time, as you said, for such sweeping powers. So basically, unlimited powers to enter premises, a slightly higher threshold for private dwellings. The police would have to believe that someone is actually breaking the rules. And it's interesting because the Prime Minister, when announcing the move to level two, said police won't be busting down your door if they think that you are holding an illegal gathering. But this is exactly the kind of power that this bill gives them. But National also initially flagged its opposition to the limits, the 10-person limits for tangi and funeral. That was the basis on which Simon Bridges said yesterday that they may not support the bill, but obviously their concerns are a lot broader and justified concerns given the powers that this does give the government, and at the moment up to 2 years, although there's been a bit of discussion about whether that might be brought back at committee stage.
And the rushing of a bill leads to even basic drafting errors as well. There was one that we just saw, I'm just trying to locate it now, that had a significant typo. I think it replaced contact tracing with contract tracing. These are the sorts of basic errors that shouldn't be turning up in legislation and indicate the speed at which things are happening.
That's right, and that's normally what the Select Committee process is actually very useful for. So experts in the field can go through the legislation with a fine-tooth comb and really point out some drafting errors or unintended consequences. Now, the government has argued that there is a need for urgency because these powers need to be in place by midnight tonight, when the Level 3 turns into level two. They said that they acknowledge the speed and the haste that it's been rushed through, but this needs to be in place for them to be able to enforce level two. So that's their justification, but that is not an argument being brought by the opposition at all.
Well, it was last week, I think, in sitting of the House last week, that the leader and shadow leader of the House, Chris Hipkins and Gerry Brownlee, respectively, had a conversation about the fact there would be a need for new legislation before level two. And I think it was Thursday we got the indications of what level two would look like. Not an opportunity for some extra days under urgency and perhaps a rushed select committee hearing.
And there was an argument for a day's hearing that would have, if the bill had been introduced and then potentially today had some hearings and then put through. But I don't think the time frame, if they wanted to get that legislation in place, would have even allowed for that. It's still in the House at the moment going through committee stages, so it will be passed today, but not a lot of time. So they either had to go with this urgent bill or they had to accept that it actually needed a better process. But the dynamic going alongside of this is that that national state of emergency, which at the moment is rolling over every week, will cease to exist under level two. So the view of the government is that these powers are needed to make sure on those health grounds, of course it had been argued very strongly that if there are obvious and blatant breaches of the level two rules, then the police do have the specific power to act. And again, the restrictions, the social distancing, they are all allowed for in this bill in terms of in the police being able to enforce it if they feel it's being breached.
And we should be clear, this is a separate matter, a separate set of powers to that that were exercised under Level 3 and Level 4, and we've had that debate over whether Section 70 of the Health Act should have been, the powers vested in the Director-General of Health should have been or could be interpreted as being applied to the whole country. That debate's going to continue at least academically and possibly in a judicial test. But this is completely separate. This is about what happens under the lower levels of power.
That's right. So under the level four and level three lockdowns, obviously much greater restrictions. Those, I suppose, umbrella pieces were there, the national state of emergency, epidemic notices, and then those health notices that were issued. But this moves into a different phase. And it also allows, as I alluded to before, for a longer term. So they were seen as short-term emergency measures. This puts in a legislative framework for some time. So it's really looking from level two and then beyond. However, I do note that these powers, if New Zealand did go back to level three or four, would actually apply under those, and that's some of the debate that's going on in the House at the moment. So it wouldn't just be for level two. It is anticipating that if there was a change of levels, this framework will apply to everything.
We've almost got used to the, in inverted commas, the extraordinary powers vested in the government in this situation. And there is certainly an argument, given the old adage about power and absolute power and what happens, there is absolutely an argument for getting the entire setting right. Do you think there's an opportunity to do that over time, to rethink some of this over time? Or is this it, the debate happening in the committee stages, the clause-by-clause stages right now, going to be it?
Look, of course there is going to be the potential in the future if the government wishes to revisit this legislation. You can always go back and amend laws if there are really outstanding problems with it. But again, you need the majority of the House to be able to do that. So if the government gets this through, which it will, even with National not supporting it, it still has the numbers to get it through. Once the third reading is done, then it's in place until the majority of Parliament, and of course that could be under a new Parliament as well, decide to go back and review it. So it's really in the hands of the government and the government's partners as well if they do feel that this law is too broad and too long. But that's really what they're trying to thrash out now in Parliament. But it's just not a very long time or very considered process to be able to look at such a substantial bill.
It's a big call by National. It's already been burned by the sort of the rally round the flag effect in some ways. It is the opposition. These are extraordinary powers, and one would be concerned if they were not scrutinising and criticising where appropriate. But what do you make of the political call if they ultimately vote against the final reading? Are they weighing that up?
I think they have made a very specific decision to oppose this bill and give them a platform to really criticise the government in a stronger way than they felt that they have been able to through this lockdown. Going back to the very start of this, when the government announced the big multi-billion dollar rescue package, and part of that was an increase for benefits, Simon Bridges really got a backlash for the way he handled that. He was very combative. He came out with that beneficiaries baked in line, and that really, I think, he responded to that through the rest of the lockdown by really pulling back, trying to be bipartisan. Although the National Party did a good job during that epidemic response committee, questioning contact tracing, questioning testing, quarantining, but they did that in a very constructive way. But even now, yesterday in the House, Simon Bridges still trying to maintain that statesmanlike approach. Gone was the combative, the kind of loud approach. He laid out the objections, but he laid them out in a much more measured way. And I think we'll see Paula Bennett, his deputy, take on more of that kind of shin-kicker kind of role. But Simon Bridges, obviously very, very aware that people don't want to see direct combative approach, but they also want to be able to question and scrutinise the government. And this bill really is an example of where that is absolutely appropriate, as long as they get the style right. They have, and as I said, they've already voted twice, first and second reading. It doesn't look like there's going to be any change to that 10 limit for tangi and funeral and weddings, and that was their point of opposition, and that's potentially what they could continue to justify their opposition to.
Okay, just very quickly, the Prime Minister appeared to confirm a September 19 election date, asked a question, I think it was just a quick yes, to the September 19th election being able to go ahead under Level 2. Has that been clarified further? There's absolutely no doubt of that election date unless there were to be a return to the most extreme lockdown.
That's right. The Electoral Commission yesterday confirming that September 19th, full steam ahead for plans, but that is qualified with the, as long as New Zealand is in level two or lower, that may change if things had to go back to a more restrictive lockdown.
Jane, so appreciated. Thank you. Jane Patterson is RNZ's political editor.